Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, the president surprised nearly everyone with an announcement that he did by tweet that officially, quote, bans transgender military members, end quote. That's really what he did. The headlines are screaming that the opposition is significant in some quarters. And some are accusing the president of stepping way out of line, creating discrimination, being mean, all those kinds of things. But on the other hand, is it possible that the president just restored what the historic law position was? And maybe some of the question really ought to be, why did Barack Obama change it in the first place last June? We're going to talk about these and put this together. And sometimes on this program, just because of the nature of what radio is, I'm throwing out the window an application of what we were going to do on this program. We were going to talk about law today, and of course what he did affects the law, but we're going to really stay the entire program on this matter of this transgender issue. Why is it so controversial in the first place? Did the president do the right thing? Who is upset? Do they have a right to be upset? How does it affect other aspects of law? Did what the president do alone change everything? Or is the court going to get involved in this? Do they need to get involved? What about that? We're going to talk about these things today. So I'm going to set that up. That's where we're going to go. Controversial program, but it's an issue I guarantee you in God's mind is not controversial. It is on this earth, but it's not in heaven. So we're going to talk about this here today. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'm going to be joined today by Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl and our returning guest, friend of Stand in the Gap today, our historian and constitutional attorney, David New. Now, before we get into this, man, I also want to ask all of you who are listening, because we're going to provide something of great value to you on this subject of transgenderism, and I'm going to give you an option of how you can obtain this literally within 15 seconds. Pull out your iPhone, your smartphone, whatever you have, and get it ready, because I'm going to have you text a very simple message. And when you text it, you're going to get an immediate message back from us, and you're going to have access to this white paper, this multi-page focus delineation on this matter of transgender identity from both a legal and a biblical perspective. You're going to want to get that. Now, let me go right here. David New, first of all, in simple terms, what did structurally the president do yesterday when he made that announcement via tweet? What did he actually do?
Well, he basically put Washington in an earthquake mode because, and I support what the president did with 100%. I am pro-family. And this area of behavior is inconsistent with the traditional family. But what he did was he basically said that these people who are transgendered are not going to be welcome in the military. And this, of course, is a reversal of what the Obama administration did just, I think, less than 12 to 18 months ago.
Okay, so you're saying he basically, what I said, he undid something that is very new, really. It was last June. Actually, I think that happened that President Obama made it. David Kistler, let me go to you. I don't know if you're looking and looking around, but we've all seen some response. Tell us, frankly, how President actually tweeted out this change. What did he say?
Well, Sam, that is a great question. The response to his tweet has been all over the map. Some greatly supportive of what he had to say, others not supportive at all. But basically, Sam, the president said that, and I'm looking exactly right now for the exact statement that he made. But in essence, it was this: after consultation with my
president generals, Trump, is banning transgender people from the United States military.
Anyway, after his comments with generals and those in the military, he said that it's going to be too costly, Sam. It's going to create unnecessary distractions. And based on those things, basically those things alone, he had made the decision that no transgender would be allowed to serve in any branch of the United States military.
All right. Now, Gary, let me go to you, because on this matter, I believe the president said when he got in that his practice would be to put around him people who were professionals, authorities in their area, and he would follow their advice. Now, what he's saying in one of his statements here is that after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow. That was one tweet that was done yesterday. Gary, from a standpoint of process, do you think the president is following and doing what he said he would do, or is this what he did way out of line, and should it really shock people terribly?
Well, one of the things that the transgenders and the LGBT are concerned about is that at one point he basically made the statement that he would do what he could to stand with them during the campaign. However, he also made the statement, Sam, that he is going to follow the general direction of his generals and the leaders in the military. And I think that's what he did here, because the full tweet says, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the United States military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. And then he said, thank you. And which I thought was quite interesting from him. I think what he's doing, Sam, is just getting out to the public exactly what he expects to be done in the military without any kind of interference from anybody else.
Gary, I think so as well. I don't think it should be a major surprise like some are saying. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I asked you a little bit ago, have your iPhone. I'm going to tell you what to do with it now, your smartphone. Pull out your phone right now, just a few seconds. Go as if you're going to send a text. All right, if you're used to sending a text, pull out your phone right now. Let's do it together in the next 30 seconds. You've got your phone in your hand. Pick it up. Go like you're going to do a text. In the line of who you're going to send it to, put in these numbers, 44144. Easy to remember, 44144. Do that right now on your phone, 44144. And then in the message line, just put in this word, stand, S-T-A-N-D, stand. So send it to 44144. Put in the text, the words in the message, stand, S-T-A-N-D. When you do that, you'll get an immediate message back. And we're going to tell you there, it'll tell you how you can get our white paper on the issue of transgenderism, what God thinks about it. Now, when we come back, we're going to go right into this issue further. We're going to define what a transgender person is, how it relates to the LGBT community, and why the president was right for doing so.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to continue on this very controversial subject. But I said from the beginning, this matter of transgenderism and redefined sexual preferences is not controversial in heaven. God is not confused. He made people a very clear way, clearly identifiable. Yet when mankind seems to want to choose what God has done, you automatically get into human controversy. But again, it's not controversial in heaven. We're going to talk about the president's change that bans transgendered individuals from serving in the military. It's got everybody all wrapped around themselves, and they're having real trouble figuring out what to do. So we're going to try and bring some clarity today on this subject. And I want to say again, get your iPhones out very quickly, go to your text, put in the number 44144. That's on the line. That's who you send it to, 44144, and put in the message line the simple word STAND, STAND. That's all you need to do. And you're going to hear back immediately from us with a link to which then you can go to pick up a free white paper. You go to our website, you'll find the white paper that we have entitled Transgender Identity, Not Accepting God's Design. That's what you're going to get for that. It's a lot of time and effort put into this white paper. We primarily did it for pastors and church leaders, but it ought to be available for everybody, and we want to do that for you today. iPhone, text message, sender line, 44, to your, who you're going to send it to, 44144, and in the line, just put in the word STAND. All right, now let's go right here. Let's define what a transgender person is, because frankly, guys, the words keep changing. They really do keep changing. David Kistler, let me go to you first, because you've actually gone online. I think you're at the website of those who are in this community, more or less. And why don't you tell us how they are defining transgender and other related terms that speak to this? How about you educating us, please, first?
Yes, Sam, I'll be glad to. Transsexual is the term I'm going to attempt to define first. It is generally viewed, and I'm talking by those in the, what we're going to call, for lack of a better term, the LGBT community. They define transsexual in a medical sense. It is a medical term for a person who has changed their physical gender to their desired or target gender. All right? That's the term transsexual, someone who's gone through a sex change. Then transgender is a more general term and is widely accepted as being the term that is most politically correct. It is a term that applies to anyone, and this is their terminology, not mine, who dabbles in the binary male-female role opposite to their birth gender. So if you are dabbling even on the fringes of a role, a binary role that's different than your birth gender, you are considered transgender. And then finally, cross-dressers are generally, according to many in the LGBT community, lumped together. They are typically, a transvestite is a heterosexual male or female who wears feminine clothing or the clothing basically of the opposite gender. Primarily, though, it applies to males who wear female clothing. So they're heterosexual, but they dress up as the opposite gender.
If you're confused, ladies and gentlemen, by what you see, it's really because it's confusing. But what Dave gave is the definition as best we're able to define it on a very moving target. It really changes quite often. David New, let me go to you now. I don't know that this is a legal perspective, but tie into this somewhat. David Kistler mentioned LGB community. If I look out there right now and see some of those who are screaming the loudest in opposition to what the president did, it is from the LGBT community. Some of them have already had some little parades and that kind of thing. And so why don't you take and relate this and how or why what the president did has so many in the LGBT community so upset. Connect that, please.
One of the reasons why it's gotten everybody upset is because it's a reversal. It's definitely putting the federal government, policy-wise, in a reversal of what they want. These groups, LGBT, bisexual, transgender, lesbian, gay, have formed together to form a group of people who want to promote a lifestyle that is radically different from the majority of Americans. And they are definitely have an agenda. They want to force this in the public schools. They want this to force this in every aspect of our lives, right to where we can go in the men's. There won't be a men's room or a ladies' room. Men and women can use the lavatory together. This is how threatening this type of material is, because it's going to lead to confusion. The fundamental feature to remember, ladies and gentlemen, about transgendered people is they are people who are conflicted within themselves. They have an enormous inner struggle going on in their mind, which means they are in trouble with James 1:8 about a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. And that's why you do not want these people in the military.
David, you gave a good overview there. We have talked a lot on this program about this whole transgender issue because it was the president, Obama, who made a change in education, we know, that said he was going to force all of this through into our public high schools and other facilities. Right here in Pennsylvania, there is a lawsuit now been brought by a young high school boy who was in the locker room and turned around and saw a girl there with him in a mostly state of undress. And said, what is this? A girl behind me in the locker room. Well, that change was made by the school. It was encouraged by the president to this whole transgender issue. And you talk about confusion. Well, that is now a matter of a court case here in Pennsylvania. And, of course, we've talked a lot about here that, you know, the whole transgender mindset that would say that a man who wants to perceive himself as a woman, because David, you described as somebody who dabbles in the opposite sex. It's primarily the men who dabble being a woman who love to go into a woman's bathroom. Well, I don't want somebody, a man who thinks he's a woman, to go into a bathroom with my wife or my daughter. And yet that's what all this is doing. So, Gary, let me go back to you. The president's decision, he already turned back more or less Obama's order relative to the schools, more or less. There's been a change there. But this was for the military. Do you think this sends a signal, or what kind of a signal does this send across the country generally? Because it affects the military specifically, but do you think it has impact beyond? What kind of a larger message, perhaps, do you think is actually being sent by the president nationally, culturally, by what he has done?
Well, from the culture, spiritual perspective, I think that what the president has done is show America that he supports the book of Genesis, where it says God created them male and female created he them. And there's no confusion there whatsoever. I also think that what the president did is recognize how the transgender in the military is going to not only cause great confusion, but also bring great cost. It's interesting to note that our dear friend, retired General Jerry Boykin, and we know him well, He made the statement that the idea that America should spend tax dollars to pay for the hormone treatment of transition surgery, which, remember, Barack Obama said they would do. He said that they would actually do that in the military. Boykin said the idea that this would take place in the military is beyond preposterous at a time when the DOD needs every dollar they can to restore military readiness after 8 years of neglect under President Obama. The cost of this transgender integration has been estimated to be a minimum of $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion over 10 years. Then Jerry Boykin said that would buy a lot of needed materials like airplanes, helicopters, and ammunition. And so you see, I think that Donald Trump, number one, is making a statement. He believes in male and female as God created them. And he also recognizes that it would weaken the military and cost a whole lot of money that could be put into establishing a stronger military throughout the world from America.
Well, Gary, you've really identified a couple of things because, see, this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen, on matters of policy or law, any policy or law will have multiple perspectives. There almost always is an economic component. Gary mentioned that. The changing of historic law to say that if somebody wants to be a woman who is a man, the government, meaning the taxpayer, is going to be obligated to walk through expensive medical change treatments, that kind of thing. At what Gary said, what'd you say, Gary? $2 billion? Is that what you said?
$2 billion over a period of 10 years. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, there's an aspect of that that the military must be up to date with their materials, their weapons. And we already know because of sequester in Washington that the military has been cut back. So why should we take $2 billion to make some wishful changes to somebody rather than to help our military do what they need to do? There's a lot. We talked about the moral, we've talked about the economic, and there's a whole lot more. That is a part of what has to be considered and what the president has done. Now, when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about how what the president has done and this policy, how does it affect the family? How will it affect the family? How will it affect perhaps the Supreme Court? And what the president needs to do to keep his decision hold.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us today on this special program, then again, we do the issues of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We've chosen to take what has been, and it is, as we're speaking, really the lead theme, lead issue, even on Fox News and others, is the change by the president that would effectively ban transgender individuals from the military. Now, we've talked about it from a couple different perspectives here, and I'm not going to go back through what we have done. I encourage you to get this program later by going to standinthegapradio.com. But I also encourage all of you who are there, if you have your phone, pick up your phone, go to your text message, and put in the name to which you would send it. Just put in these numbers, 44144. Easy to remember, 44144. And then in the message line, just put in the word stand, S-T-A-N-D. You put that in there, and you're going to get an immediate message from that. And out of that, then you will be able to access a white paper that we have produced that is entitled Transgender Identity, Not Accepting God's Design. Because at the end of the day, human sexuality was not created by man. It was created by God. And as we're saying, there's a lot of discussion, but there's no confusion in heaven. Some of you who may be hearing the news as we do this live are hearing some, even Nancy Pelosi and others, saying that there's confusion and how terrible and so forth. But there's no confusion in heaven. And even in regard to those who really know, I'm looking at an article here right now. Now, this was written in 2015, so it's 2 years ago, almost exactly. A guy named Michael Chapman did it, but the title of it is John Hopkins Psychiatrist, Transgender is Mental Disorder, Sex Change Biologically Impossible. Here it is, Dr. Paul McHugh, former psychiatrist-in-chief, Johns Hopkins Hospital, and current distinguished service professor of psychology, said that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment. David New, you talked about confusion. That's really what he's saying. And that sex change is, quote, biologically impossible, end quote. And that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting a mental disorder. Now, that was Dr. Paul McHugh just 2 years ago, former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital. So it's not like the only people who have a problem with a changing standard of human sexuality are weird religious people. No, it's a firm moral position, and it's an observed statistical clinical observation, as Dr. Paul McHugh would say. Now, let's go here first. Gary, let's ask you briefly, start with you. How do you think that, what the president did here will affect the family? In other words, do you perceive that the discussion, perhaps, if nothing else, that the president has established by doing what he did will be or should be supportive or should be interpreted as or used within families as a point of discussion to reinforce the family? Or do you think what he did will weaken the family?
Well, I think it will strengthen the family. I mean, you know, when you, again, go back to Genesis and the first chapter where it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and that's mankind. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. You see, God created us, male and female. That's distinct. That's clear. That is absolute. Problem is, Sam, when you go over to Romans chapter 1, and it indicates that mankind puts God out of his thoughts, then God gives them up to a reprobate mind so that they cannot think biblically, they cannot think righteously, and consequently, they go away from God. They go away even from the law of the conscience that God instills into their hearts, in as it says in Romans chapter 2. And so I think that the president's statement should, and we must pray that ultimately it will strengthen the family. But here's something else I want to throw into the mix. You'd mentioned that psychologists say that it's a psychological problem. Jerry Boykin, in the article that I referenced earlier, basically says that the condition of the transgenders has been diagnosed by leading medical professionals as being a very serious psychological problem that is not easily remedied. I think that we need to look, Sam, beyond the psychological to the spiritual. It's a spiritual problem. It's the problem of sin. And if we want to see transgenders saved, delivered from that, we need to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will create in them a new creation that will take care of the psychological problem they have. Jesus Christ will get them settled on what they are, male or female.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you listened and heard what Gary said. We're defining and looking at something that's in the news. It's a practice that many in the culture have adopted. And in the culture, by and large, many have said, well, how can you dare say that that's wrong? What Gary's saying is that God's word is the definer of moral absolute. It's God who made us. It's God who designed male and female and brought them together. And this is of God's plan. And any time, as a result of a sinful nature, which we've covered on this program, there are many ways that people can reject God. We can reject God by saying we don't need God. We can reject God by saying I'm going to disregard what God says and deny the Bible. I'm going to deny that there is such a thing as absolute truth. I'm going to deny that God created the family. God created government. There's a lot of ways we can deny God. This that we're talking about today is one area where there are some who think that in a sinful condition that they can defy God relative to human sexuality. But you put this across a spectrum, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of ways we can defy God. And the only way that we can bring clarity out of confusion is to come into agreement with what God says, and that's found in His Word. Now, that's where the hope side is, and that's where we ultimately want to deliver the message from American Pastors Network. There is hope. It's in Jesus Christ. No matter who you are, where you are, there is hope, and that's where you go. Now, David New, let me go back to you another aspect here and have you bring it up. I asked Gary how it would affect the family. We've had a little bit of that discussion. But there's an aspect of what this president has done, maybe the way he did it or whatever, that will have some legal ramifications. The Supreme Court has had some ruling. I can't believe that there's not going to be some connection with the Supreme Court. Why don't you share with us what you perceive may happen or connect the Supreme Court into this, because they seem to be the final arbiter. At least they are the final arbiter in matters of civil law.
As much as I support what the president did, politically he made an enormous mistake, and he should not have done it at this time. What he should have done is wait until he gets that fifth vote on the United States Supreme Court. What he wants is either Kennedy, Ginsburg, or Breyer to step down, give him that fifth vote of a conservative that will stand up and support this policy. All three of these people are likely to be against it. And what he did by doing that, he gave Kennedy especially, he's 81, Ginsburg is 84. He gave these two people a motivation not to step down. Big, big mistake. The second mistake that he did, it's going to be much, much harder to get that fifth conservative on the court now, even if he gets a seat available, because he brought this issue now. He should have waited and let it lie low for a while. Next thing, he needs to already have his legal case ready before he even issues the policy. He should have 100 affidavits by generals and admirals who can testify in court why a transgendered person is a bad person who is unstable. Battle is a difficult, confusing period, and people who are in conflict with themselves, innerly speak on their insides, are having a greater problem. He needs to have his legal case already set up, because it's going to be challenged. He also needs to know all the answers, so that what happened yesterday at the news conference with Sarah Huckabee won't happen. What about those who are currently in the military? That question should have already been answered. In other words, the president should have fully vetted this issue before he issued his public statement. So he's made a big he's made a lot of mistakes in this area, as much as I support it. And the more confusion there is about the policy, the less chance the president has to get public support for the policy.
David New, that's a very, very astute observation, because at the end of the day, you are agreeing with the result of what did. But
I wouldn't allow gays in the military. When I was an officer in the military, before I became an officer, you had to sign a document. And there are several things you had to affirm that you were not. And one of them was gay or lesbian. And I signed it with no problem. Those people, God loves them. I love them. I want the best for them. But they have no business in the United States military.
And ladies and gentlemen, understand, on this issue, this has been the historic law of the military forever. What the president did is not a change. It's a restoration of what Barack Obama did when he was trying to change the culture, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, of the world. I may comment on that when I come back, why he was doing what he was doing back then. But the president is just rectifying what was already and historically been in law. I think we should keep that in mind. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's in our white paper and how these things fit together here now when we conclude the program.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. to see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we enter into our what we normally have, ladies and gentlemen, our solution segment, we're going to try and bring this discussion relative to transgenderism, which really falls under the broader category of what you'd call modified human sexuality. If you put it into a broader perspective, it's a rejection of God's design for human sexuality, which he only did to male and female. It's not complicated. God's not complicated. He's very simple and clear, and everything works really, really well when we do what he says. In that's regard to whether we how we run our home, how we run government, how we view education and whose responsibility it is to educate our children, meaning parents, not government, and certainly the matter of whether or not we want to encourage as a culture an attitude that says, well, you have every right to be whatever you want to be and throw God's moral law out the window. Now, we're talking about this matter of transgenderism. Dave Kistler defined these ever-changing terms, transgender, transsexual, transvestite, trans this, trans that. They're all in the same category, really, of saying we don't want what you did, God. We want to try and change it to something else. So next year there will be some trans something else. It's just the nature of what happens when we throw off God's model. God didn't design human sexuality to destroy joy and happiness. He designed it for the maximization of joy and happiness and the ability to have families and children that could carry on and experience the blessings of God. That's really what it's there for. If we throw it out the window, we're in trouble. Now, I'm going to go back to this one argument here, but I quoted it from Doc McHugh from Johns Hopkins University. Now, this is in the white papers, the white paper that were entitled Transgender Identity, Not Accepting God's Design. You can have this. I want you to get this today. You can get it free on your phone. Go, like you're going to text a message to a friend, go in the line at the top where you put in the name, just put in the numbers, 44144. 44144. 44144. And then in the message line, put in the word stand. Now, at that point, you're going to be communicated to by us with some instructions of what you can do. Now, gentlemen, let me go back here and just read a little bit here because I want to talk about how this affects the family, how we ought to be responding to this, because what the president has done by effectively restoring the law relative to transgendered individuals not being in the military, he's restored the law. It's created a controversy, and I guarantee you the discussion's not going to stop at the end of today. But Dr. Hugh, in his material, this is in the white papers, ladies and gentlemen, the kind of thing that you can get if you put in 44144 and type in the word at the message stand. It says, Dr. McHugh points out that 70 to 80% of children expressing transgender feelings shed such feelings over time. Dr. McHugh also noted, again, he's the top guy at Johns Hopkins Hospital. He said that transgender people have shown higher rates of depression and suicide following gender reassignment surgery. And he goes on, he talks more about it. So we have a lot of information like this in the book, and it's a great, great, great asset. Gary, let me go back to you. Do you think that it's appropriate for pastors in the pulpit to take this opportunity to perhaps take God's word and relate it to the issues of the day, this issue of the day, as an opportunity, teaching moment for those in the congregations? Do you think it is, number one, and how many do you think will actually do it?
Well, the answer to your first question is absolutely yes. I think pastors ought to do it. These are great opportunities that God gives us from you might want to call governmental or secular world to bring the word of God to bear on what's taking place around us. I would encourage every pastor across our nation, under the sound of our voice today, to do so. Teach what the word of God has to say on this issue and do it as soon as you can. How many do I believe, Sam, will do that? I would say 10% or less, unfortunately. But I do believe that since this is quite a strong issue today, it's got to be counteracted and taught accurately from the pages of the Word of God.
David Kistler, let me go to you right now, because most people who are listening to our program of clear understanding are not pastors, just simply because there are a lot fewer pastors than people in the pew. So I mean, that's why. So there's a lot more people in the pew listening now to the program than there are pastors. What effect is it for those in the pew to encourage their pastors to preach biblical principles about such things as what we're hearing today? You're in churches all over the country. Do you think the pastors want to hear from their people in the pew? Do you think that if those listening to the program today would encourage their pastors to take and preach on this and other issues that are out there on the news of the day, do you think it would be effective? Encourage them to do so if you think it's so.
Well, Sam, it would be incredibly effective, and here's why. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. That's true of a nation. It's true of a family. It's true of an individual. When there is a righteous foundation established, whether it's on human sexuality or any other topic, there is an elevating effect that brings. And so, yes, if people in the pew would encourage their pastors to speak with respect to this, it would create clarity in the Christian home and in culture at large if pastors would address this. Sam, I want to say one other thing. It used to be called gender dysphoria, what we're talking about here. Dysphoria is a feeling of dissatisfaction with something. And gender dysphoria is when you feel your body does not reflect your true gender. In other words, you were born male, but you really should be female. And the medical community, Sam, for the most part, not just John Hopkins, it's out there. World Health Organization said this at one point until 2016 when they were pressured politically to reverse some things. They said this gender confusion creates, I want you to listen to this. This is the medical community speaking, severe distress, anxiety, and depression. Now, let me ask this. Do we want people with severe distress, anxiety, and depression carrying a weapon in the military? Do we even want to create that in our homes?
That's right.
In business location? Do we want to create severe distress, anxiety, depression? We want the opposite of that, Sam. As you said, God's design brings happiness. So all this is a ploy of the wicked one to destroy society at large.
David New, I want to ask you to close in prayer just briefly. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, that truth, God's truth, brings clarity. Truth is a thermostat, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a thermometer. Let us who know the truth set the standard of God's word. That's what leads to happiness. That's what leads to joy. Let's not be a thermometer in reflecting what's happening around us. Let's reflect a standard God's moral law. David New, would you take us to the throne of grace in prayer and close the program out for us, please?
Dear Father, in Jesus' name, the word says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Father, at this time we pray for the president. We pray for the good things the president is doing, which are manifold. We pray for the family. And we pray, dear Father, that this country can have new members of the Supreme Court that will honor God's word and honor the traditional family. Father, we thank thee for each and every listener, and we pray this program has been a blessing to them, to encourage them and to let their voice be heard, that they support the president in this particular policy. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get this white paper easily going to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and you can find it there in the resource section, or text us 44144 and the word STAND.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture, Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.